good morning. It seems to be that time again when prognosticators have come forward and assured us that this world will end in 2012. And they cite Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, and that fellow who brought us the harmonic convergence, and tell us that we need to get our affairs in order because this world is going to end. And they are right. This world will end, but not in an external experience. For years and years and centuries, we have been waiting for an external world to come to an end, so that we may enter a kingdom, so that we may move into the kingdom of heaven. Now, the sad part is, and I have the assurance of this, there is no such kingdom. There is no tomorrow kingdom. Christ says, "For now is my kingdom. Now." But how many do you know that are walking consciously in that invisible kingdom? No, we continue to wait and to mark our calendars and mark off the days and the years and the centuries, waiting for this world to end. And it never does. And yet, this world will end. We are told in Revelations that the world will roll up like a scroll. And it will. We are told that this world will end and there will be no more suffering. There will be no more crime. And we are told that time shall be no more. But this is not an external experience. This is an internal happening. Everything in the scriptures takes place in our consciousness as a change in our awareness. None of it is to take place out here. And so, what are we supposed to do? We are told that he who loves this life out here will lose it. We are told that if you hate your life out here, you will find it. We are told that we have to lose our life. We are told to hate our mother and brother and sister. Now, what could that possibly mean? Buddha, who sat under the Bodhi tree in meditation, asked himself, the same questions. How do we lose our attachment? What is the cause of suffering? How do we get free? How do we break out of this thing called Maya? What is the illusion? How can I wake up? And in meditation, he received his answer. And the answer is so startling that we may not believe it at first. And yet, it is exactly what needs to happen. And that is, this world must end. Now, the way is straight and the path is narrow. You need to hear this. Most of us want to add God to our human lives. We want to bring the kingdom of heaven into this world. And it cannot be done. But we keep trying. We keep thinking that someday this world will end and we'll just awaken to the kingdom. But that's not going to happen. Not until we loosen our grip. Not until we become willing to let this world pass away. Not until, like the Buddha, we are willing to let all attachments go, will we find the kingdom of heaven. Thomas, in his wonderful book, quotes Christ Jesus as saying, "The outside must become the inside, and the inside the outside." And that is what we have to do. Turn ourselves inside out. And maybe it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. You see, I have a good friend. Her name is Linda. And she says, there cannot be God as love and another. And if we have read Joel Goldsmith's books, we know that he said, there is no God and. And in an experience that I had in 1975, I came to see that there is only one presence, and that presence is God. And God is where the tree appears to be. And God is where the house appears to be. And God is where the gravel appears to be. And God is where the cat appears to be. And God is where the bird appears to be. And God is where the sky appears to be. And I am that. We cannot hang on to this world with one hand and have the conscious realization of God's omnipresence with the other. It cannot be done. And to attempt to do it is to tear yourself to pieces. We cannot hang on to duality and experience oneness. So what are we talking about? The attachments that we have to this world must go. We love this world. Oh, but we want God too. I love my little grandson. He's so cute. I almost can't bear it when something happens. Now, how can God be all? And I hang on to a concept called a grandson. If I'm seeing a grandson where God is, then I'm seeing all the lacks and limitations, aren't I? I'm fastening them to him. And I am myself caught up in a dream. I love my daughter. I love my son. Oh, I want nothing but the best for them. Yet somehow, they seem to be in trouble. How can I see children in trouble and God as the only presence? I love my spouse. She is so good to me. I love my husband. He is such a good provider. What are these? You know, the five physical senses that we use to look out and interpret what we are seeing are lying to us. There cannot be God is all and another. There cannot be God and. And so if I'm loving an appearance, if I'm loving a human being, then I am attached to this world. Now here's what I'm saying. We are told that no illusion is ever externalized. No illusion is ever externalized. That means, listen to this, that means that this world is not an external world. It means that this world is a misinterpretation of my kingdom. This world that I see with the eyes and hear with the ears, this is not a world. It's a misperception. So you see, the external becomes the internal, and the internal, that invisible kingdom, becomes the external, doesn't it? Thomas is right. Somehow, we must develop the capacity to see through these misperceptions, these mental images. We must develop the capacity to see through them, to see through the appearance to my kingdom. Because we live and move and have our being in the kingdom now. Maybe that's not quite as difficult as it seems. And maybe it is. I can tell you that when you grapple with this in your meditations and you struggle with this, it's like wrestling with an angel, and you won't really be free until you let go of it. And I can tell you that when I really realized that this world and all of its false identities had to go, it was like realizing that a friend of mine was dying, a very old and close friend. And yet I knew either God is everything or the truth is not true. And if God is everything and God is everything, I know this from experience, if God is everything, then these people that I've fallen in love with, these people are not there. God is. And if I'm ever going to see the kingdom, if I'm ever going to experience the kingdom as a conscious now reality, I have got to drop that attachment. It's what Buddha told us. It's what Christ Jesus told us. And many, many others. And now it's time to face it. The end of this world comes when we drop all attachment. In the infinite way, we are told that by practicing spiritual principles, we experience healings. We are told that our finances may improve. We are told that our health may improve. We are told that the right companionship will come to us. We are told that many of the things in our lives will get better. And it's true. However, if you read a little closer or you read the next few pages, it is always revealed that this is not the goal. These are the added things along the way. The way to what? The way to conscious awareness of the kingdom of God everywhere. We are told that by practicing these principles, we awaken in us the ability to see through these attachments, to see the Father everywhere, as everyone and in everything. And that is what we must be seeing. That is what we must be knowing. And we are told finally that through the practice of meditation, we develop that capacity to listen, to be receptive. We develop a faculty called spiritual discernment. And spiritual discernment allows us to see through not a world, because there's not a world to see through. It allows us to see through the mental projections. It allows us to see through the misinterpretations. And folks, they have to go. No matter how beautiful they are. Yes, I know. I know it hurts. I know it's uncomfortable. This is not just something that we've been doing for 20, 30, 40 years. This is something that has taken lifetime after lifetime to get to this point of readiness, where we are willing and finally ready for the world to end. Now, Jesus, in one of the last passages, he is quoted as saying, "And now I am no more in the world." Now, this is before the crucifixion, this is before the resurrection, before the ascension. He's walking around in a body, people are seeing him. And yet he says, I am no longer in the world. You see, you can step out of it while you're here. In fact, this is where you need to do it. And he wants you to do it because our elder brother says, Oh, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of this world. You see, before they ever laid hands on him in the garden, he said himself, I am no longer in the world. So they could do whatever they wanted to an appearance because he was no longer in it. People saw him as a body on a cross. Guess what? He was never there. He had already slipped into the invisible kingdom here and now. In fact, he said right there as Pilate was threatening him, for now is my kingdom. He was dwelling in it. And when you dwell in that secret place of the Most High, when you dwell in that kingdom consciously, nothing of this world can touch you because we are hid with Christ in God. And so I don't care if it's an atomic bomb. I don't care if it's anthrax in the wind. I don't care if it's a plane filled with jet fuel. It cannot touch you in this invisible kingdom. We read all the time, I shall walk through the flames and they won't kindle upon me. I'll go through the waters and I will not drown. Now, do we believe that? It doesn't matter if we believe it. We need to have the experience of walking in that invisible kingdom, right here, right now. And so we need this thing called spiritual discernment. And it comes through listening to talks, reading scriptures, and reading truth books. And it comes from meditation. We develop this faculty where we are able to see through. Remember, we're not seeing through a world because there's no world out there. We're seeing through our false interpretation of the kingdom because the kingdom is what's out there. So we learn to see through these misinterpretations. We learn to set them aside. We learn to let them go. We learn to become still. And this, even when we're walking, talking, driving a car. And we begin to have the experience of my kingdom. We begin to walk in my kingdom. And what's more, we begin to have that invisible kingdom walking in us. Now, my kingdom is not of this world. And I know that we are more than happy to set aside those negative pictures and to see them healed, to see harmony restored. But now we must also be willing to set aside the good pictures. The beautiful sunset, yes, even the good pictures. The beautiful mountain range, the awesomeness of nature. We cannot have God and so we have to set those aside. Here's another example. Yogananda, when he first met his master and had only been with him for a short time, his master asked him, "Bring me a picture of your family." And so, Yogananda was obedient. He brought the picture. And his master asked him, "Tell me, if you saw your family here, this picture, if you saw them in a crowd, which would you love more, the crowd or your family?" And Yogananda, always being honest, said, "My family." And that was all that was discussed that day. Nothing else was said. Time passed, many years. And one day, out of the blue, the master said, "Yogananda, do you still have that picture? Bring that picture to me." And he went and he brought the picture. And his master said, "If you saw your family here in a crowd, which would you love more, the crowd or your family?" And Yogananda, he hung his head and cried. Because you see, he loved them as one. He knew only God was there. And his master said, "Your work on earth is done." And so it was. That was another way of saying, this world has ended. But his work wasn't done, because we know he went on to establish ashrams, and there were books written and lectures given. But the point is that the world must end. Yes, it must end. But it's not a world that is ending. We've got to take and turn our insides to the outsides and the outsides to the insides. We've got to see this differently. We've been seeing this one way for many years, and we're still in the same rut. We're still in the same stage of consciousness. We've got to see it differently. So, there is no external world. There never was. What we are experiencing is an interpretation in the mind produced by the five physical senses of my kingdom. And so if we're going to see my kingdom and walk in my kingdom, we've got to find a way to become still. We've got to find a way to still the senses, to set that aside, set it aside, and be receptive to what's revealed. And what is revealed is my kingdom. What's revealed is that in him we live and move and have our being, and he in us. I and the Father, and the Father and me, for I and the Father are one, and you and the Father are one. And it is that one that we must see, and only one. If thine eye is single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If your eye is single, the whole body of your experience will be full of light. Now, let us rest here for a moment. This is a lot to digest. We do not become a recluse. We do not hide away somewhere in a cave. That's not what we're saying. We do not pretend that nothing that we're, or we do not pretend that everything we are seeing is not there either. We have obligations, we have responsibilities, we have to go to work, we have to clean the house. And so we cannot live in denial and pretend that there's nothing that we need to do. Because there's things that we need to do. But while we are doing them, we can develop this capacity to see through. Now, I used to work in a factory. And in the middle of the factory, I had the realization that only God was there. And each person I treated as if they were God, because they were. And to the best of my ability, I recognized, silently now, I did not say it out loud, I recognized that God, and only God, is there. And we would enter conversations about the workload to be done that day. And as my supervisor explained to me what he expected, I listened to him with one ear. And with the other ear, I listened within and realized that right where he appeared to be, God is. And so I dealt with God all day. God as my supervisor. God as my partners at work. God as the inspector. I dealt with God all day. And do you know what? God dealt with me. Because these people responded as they never had before. God came through these people in little acts of kindness, in little acts of love. And so I came to see that as I practiced the principle of oneness, the picture changed completely. Now, Joel says in his wonderful book, Realization of Oneness, meditate on this idea of hypnotism as the substance of every form, or in my words, as mental images, as the substance of every form, of the material universe that is appearing to you. When you see sin, disease, lack, and limitation, remember, it's hypnotism, or mental images, presenting itself to you as what is called evil form. But then, when you see beauty all around, the mountains, ocean, and sunshine, remember that these two are forms of hypnotism, only this time appearing to you as good form. You see, Joel could never have been the healer that he was if he was not able to see through the picture. And he goes on to say, and here you have the secret of living. When, through the senses, you observe life as it seems to be, as you see, hear, taste, touch, or smell it, you understand immediately that this is the illusion, a product of hypnotism. Through your spiritual sense, spiritual discernment, however, you discern that right where the human, material, physical picture seems to be is the spiritual, eternal, and immortal creation. And so you see, he knew. He knew that you had to look through all of it. The bad interpretation, the good interpretation. There could not be special relationships, and God is one. Paul said, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. And so he was telling us we have to see through that. We have to behold God where the man appears. We have to behold God where the woman appears. And Isaiah told us to cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? And so we see this world will come to an end when we see through the appearance to the underlying reality that God is all. And this is a living experience, a conscious awareness. In our meditations, we can take the pictures that are appearing as evil, sickness, lack, limitation, and we can recognize that there's no law of God behind them. There's nothing behind them. He hangeth the earth upon nothing. Now let's go a step further, and also in our meditation, where we see the good, let's look through that appearance as well. This spouse, his children, his grandchildren. These are a misinterpretation of the presence of God. Right where they have been appearing, only God is. And I rest in that now. Father, reveal to me what you see, not these attachments that I have formed. What is really here? Reveal your presence. And as we go about our day-to-day activities, I used to look at someone, bad or good, it doesn't matter. And within myself, I would realize where you appear to be, I am. I, the presence of God. And a little later, someone else would come to me and I would realize the same thing. Where you appear to be, I am, the presence of God. And everywhere throughout my day, anyone that I came in contact with, bad or good, good or bad, I would recognize this is an appearance. Where you appear to be, I am the presence of God. And if I was watching the news and they talked about plane crashes, train crashes, I would look at that and say, where you appear to be, I am the presence of God. And if they showed something wonderful, a man who risked his life to save somebody, where you appear to be, I am the presence of God. And when I get up in the morning and see myself in a mirror, where you appear to be, I am the presence of God. If you recognize that and practice that principle throughout your day, throughout your world will be turned inside out. And the invisible kingdom will be that in which you live and move and have your being. And the world of the senses will end. Yes, this world will end. And my kingdom is forever. And it is possible to begin to walk in this kingdom consciously, aware of it now. And it is possible to not leave it behind in your meditation, but to walk consciously in it throughout the day, and to feel and sense that invisible presence, that invisible kingdom walking in you throughout the day. Because there cannot be God and another. There cannot be God and. There is only God. And when you awaken to the oneness of God, this world has ended. And your work on earth is finished. God bless you. And may this come true for you and become a living, conscious awareness. Before we go, I want to make an announcement. The last talk was downloaded 125 times. And so I became aware that not everybody may know that I have written a book. And it is called Steps to Mystical Experience. And many of these principles are in that book. I wish you the oneness of God's presence.